Welcome back to the Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Pete Burek, filling in for Al Cresta today. Our next guest is Stephen White. He is the Executive Director of the Catholic Project at the Catholic University of America and a Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He recently wrote an article called "The Times Are a-Changin'" for thecatholicthing.org. In many ways, in response to an AP article that came out at the beginning of May talking about the Catholic Church, a step back in time, and some of the shifts that we've seen in the church over the years. We're going to talk about that now. Mr. White, welcome to Cresta in the Afternoon.
Pete, it's good to be on with you.
So I have to admit, this is I was trying to figure out how to frame this conversation because your article is best read in understanding of the AP article, but I don't want to assume that everybody has read both, but they're both fascinating and they both bring out so many points that it was like, where do I even start? So I'm just going to give the ball to you first to start to run down the field. Can you contextualize for the listeners why you wrote your article and kind of what it's trying to accomplish in light of the AP report?
Yeah, so on May 1st, the Associated Press ran a long profile by a reporter named Tim Sullivan about the church in the United States and one of the major, what it calls an immense shift in the church in the United States. And it was important because I think, that, first of all, the shift is real, but secondly, this is a kind of shift one hears about a lot within the church, but doesn't necessarily get recognized in the broader culture and in conversations outside at least certain parts of the church. And the shift is this, that the sort of spirit of Vatican II style of Catholicism that I grew up with in the 80s and into the 90s hasn't really replicated itself. And it seems to be being replaced in many places, not everywhere, but in many places by a more conservative or orthodox or traditional. The AP piece is clear that it's hard to define exactly what this new thing is, but it's younger Catholics who are sort of looking to the church's tradition in their parishes. You see this is particularly among priests. And so the idea is that you had this generation that came in after the council and lots of things changed in one direction, and they seem to be changing back in another direction. And like I said, that's a shift that many Catholics have noticed in one way or another. Some people are very happy about it. Some people are not happy about it. But this was really the first time that it's been sort of addressed at length in sort of major secular press. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of the starting point for this. And there were lots of different reactions to this. Some people criticized the AP piece for getting some things wrong. And it does get some things wrong. Some people saw it as a sort of a hit piece against younger conservatives, which I didn't think that's what it was. What I saw it as is sort of a description of the living parts of the church, the parts of the church that have sort of weathered the years of disaffiliation and declining mass attendance, and to a large degree, the parts that are still thriving are not anti-Vatican II. They're not necessarily capital T traditionalists. That's a fairly small segment of the church. But they're a part of the church that values both the changes and genuine reforms of the council, but sees itself in real profound continuity with the church that existed before the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And so as mass attendance numbers continue to sort of decline across the country, as people who grew up with, you know, the Gather hymnal and those songs at Mass are being surprised to learn, Latin chants or hear Latin chants and more smells and bells in Mass. The church is undergoing a very significant shift, sort of towards something new. Exactly what that is not terribly clear. As I said, this is a trend that a lot of Catholics had noticed. We at the Catholic Project did a big study of American Catholic priests that came out a couple years ago. We're still sort of unpacking all the data we got, but one of the things it showed very clearly is that younger Catholic priests in the United States are the most theologically orthodox. This is the way they describe themselves. The most likely to describe themselves as theologically orthodox, the most politically moderate, and the most sort of racially and ethnically diverse. So you hear a lot about that, you know, young priests are all these sort of very traditional, very conservative priests. And there's a certain sense in which that's kind of true. But there's a lot of ways in which that's not exactly right. So I saw this AP article. It's a good chance to talk about what these changes are and what they actually mean and what it might suggest about the future of the church in the United States.
Yeah, and I think you made an important point, too, that a lot of times the labels or the words we use of liberal, conservative, progressive, right or left, while in the political sphere and maybe in the cultural sphere, carry significance and some degree of clarity, in the church and liturgical and the spiritual life, it is pretty muddled. And I think one of the things that was a challenge for me of reading the AP article was it felt like this constant conflation, which is not surprising because presumably the person who wrote it, it doesn't seem to be Catholic, but there was this constant conflation between like external expressions of faith in terms of liturgical preferences and things, and then things like, well, now this parish is now talking about hell and salvation again, which then must mean that they're conservative. And it was like this simultaneously overly simplistic and then like very complicated explanation of, well, no, that's actually what the church has always taught. So how have you been able to navigate, in both your research and trying to help people kind of wander through this, the distinction between kind of the lowercase t tradition that is subject to change and then the capital T tradition and things that really are not subject to change?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a debate that the church itself has been having very often these days.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that you touched on is important, that there are distinctions within Catholic life that don't follow neatly our political labels, liberal, conservative, but they kind of do. So it's very tempting to use, you know, when I talk about liberal Catholic, everyone more or less knows what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
It's applying it in particulars and in concrete that it gets a bit dodgy. The AP article didn't seem to distinguish very well at all, really, between what I would call sort of capital T traditionalists and sort of conservative or orthodox Catholics. For example, It wouldn't be able to tell, the author didn't seem to be able to tell a difference between someone who is a strict Latin Mass Catholic and someone who's just sort of a John Paul II Catholic. Right? One of those is a traditionalist. One of those is a traditionalist. At one point in the article, he refers to sort of Focus, you know, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, as a traditionalist organization, which maybe to American culture at large, it seems traditionalist, but within Catholic context, that's just not the right label. It's completely wrong.
Right.
And so there was some difficulty with these labels, but I think that kind of underscores the point, is that whatever's happening in the church, this movement towards what I would call a mature reception and embodiment of Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the documents of Vatican II, it talks about a preference for Latin in the liturgy and for Gregorian chant and for organ music, not to the exclusion necessarily of guitar, but one of those is preferenced in the council itself and not the other. So I think that there's a tendency to look at the church right now and see, okay, who's in favor of Vatican II Church and who's not. And I think that really, at least in the Church of the United States, that misses the vast majority of what's happening in the church right now. And so however one wants to describe this major shift that the AP is talking about, and I think that a lot of us see around us and are aware of, it's very difficult to sort of pin it down in sort of clear political terms. It's even difficult to pin it down sort of in theological terms to a large degree, but it does seem to be, as I said, I see it as evidence of a mature reception of the council, as a living of the faith in a way that doesn't look to go back to the 1950s, but also a living of the faith that has no interest in relitigating the 1970s either, right? That this is that the faith that we have received transforms our lives. It gives a new shape to the world and to the horizon against which we live our lives, and that the roots for that go not just back to the 1950s, but all the way back to the first century, and in many ways, all the way back to creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that continuity, and at the same time, a real embrace of what does it mean to be a Catholic in the world today, I think is a neat balance and can be very well described as a very distinctly post-conciliar manifestation of Catholicism. And it's lively. It's where the church in the United States is alive these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that the AP would struggle to understand the nuances and the distinctions and kind of not totally correctly clump people together. What does continue to befuddle me, though, as a practicing Catholic, as somebody who's really trying to live out the fullness in the most radical way possible of what the Church offers as the what a Catholic life looks like, it does consistently confuse me as to why we, the Church, struggle so much to kind of find common ground, live with a certain both and, live with a more like a radical center as opposed to being polarized. Do you have a sense, either in your research or just in your work, why it is that even church-going Catholics get so drawn into these often unhelpful distinctions?
Well, I've got a lot of theories about that. Well, I was talking to a colleague just today. One of my theories is we often hear that, you know, our political polarization has sort of found its way into the Church. And I think that's true. I think most people think that that's at least partly true. But I also think that that's only true up to a point. I think a lot of the divisions we see in the Church aren't because of our politics. They're real sort of deep disagreements about some pretty fundamental things about God and man and the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And to chalk that up to political polarization, I think sometimes obscures the real serious disagreement that's there. But I think there are, I mean, for example, it's very strange to me, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about. If I tell you that my favorite hymn is On Eagle's Wings, you could probably guess something about my politics. Right?
Yeah.
If I told you that I go to a mass where everything is chanted in Latin, you could probably guess something about my politics.
Yeah.
Right? Not exactly, but there's some kind of a correlation. That's an odd fact. And I think that we haven't done a good job of sort of dealing with the Church of what that might say about not just what politics has done to our faith, but the way our faith and our ecclesial union is challenged, and there is disunity about some pretty fundamental things, and that those divisions and disagreements may in fact be prior to whatever political arguments we happen to be having at the time. And so I think that's why you see a lot of these divisions, they're more acute these days, but they go back to the council and before the council.
Mm-hmm.
There are real divisions here that we'll probably still be dealing with for a long time to come.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for your work. If you'd like to read the article we were referencing, you can go to thecatholicthing.org. The times are a-changing. Talking with Stephen White. We're going to be back from the break with Peter Herbeck. This is Crested in the Afternoon. I'm Pete Burek. See you in a minute.